Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. Well, a lot of exciting things have been going on lately here at Victory Church. A couple of neat things happened yesterday. We had Man Day. Do we have any photos up there for Man Day? Here's a couple of our Man Day executives cooking, grilling on that awesome big grill. Looks like a keyboard, but it's really a grill. And there's some of the folks that came and participated. We endured the heat and had an awesome time. And also yesterday was the Haiti yard sale. Some of you may have not have known that, but you probably wonder what all that stuff is out there outside on the front porch. That's leftover things from the Haiti yard sale. And if you participated and helped in the Haiti yard sale in any way, stand up. Let's give these people a hand. They worked really hard on this. And it's not too late to contribute. They're raising funds for different things in Haiti. They're going, I believe it's this Friday, isn't it, Jamie, that you're all leaving? And if you would like to donate something, some money, you can put it in the offering at the end of the service, just right in the what for column for Haiti, and you can do that. Or if you need some items, you can pick them up after the service. And they also need some help loading up the cars as well. So if you want to do that, you can see Miss Jamie. Wave your hand, Jamie, right there.
All
she's.
That stuff is free, by the way. Just take it, please.
Also, Pastor Mike mentioned it, but this is, I think it's actually today is Bill and Rebecca's anniversary. Is it today? I'm not sure, but if it isn't, we're going to celebrate it anyway. They're probably watching this, so let's show them how much we really love them. This is their anniversary. Pastor Bill and Rebecca. Woo! Yeah. Happy anniversary. And he'll be back later on this week and bringing the message next. Oh, actually, Pastor Mike is bringing the message next week on Galatians Part 6, which is what we've been covering the last, this will be the fifth of 6 weeks on the book of Galatians that we've been studying. And today's message, if you didn't get any notes, by the way, there are some notes that are inside your worship guide that you can follow along the teaching. Raise your hand if you'd like to follow along with the notes and you didn't get one on your seat back over there. And we're also going to, I'm going to mention some things. We're going to go through quite a few scriptures this week. So if you have a pen, you like to circle a couple things. I'm big on circling little items and underlining things in there. You can follow along with us that way. But basically, we've been talking about in the book of Galatians about referencing back to the Garden of Eden with the two trees there. Remember that? We have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we have the tree of life. And that's kind of like a parallel in the book of Galatians, is about not living by a bunch of rules and regulations, which represents the tree of knowledge. And in the tree of knowledge, it's kind of like two things. It's made, you're kind of made right through rules and knowledge. That's why it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happens if you try to live a, quote, Christian life by rules and regulation, it really does bring bondage to you. It brings a lot of frustration, because how many know we cannot do it? There's no way you can keep all the rules in the Bible. If you've gone and read any of them, you'll say, this is impossible. And that's true. It is impossible. That's why Jesus had to come. And then the tree of life represents relationship with God. And that's what Adam and Eve were supposed to be doing from the get-go. And they started off right, but they messed up. And here we are today, and we have an opportunity to move into that tree of life, and we'll talk about that at the end of the service. So what happens is that we're made right through accepting God's forgiveness through the provision of Jesus on the cross. So week four, which was 2 weeks ago, because last week was Father's Day, Pastor Bill talked about really relationship as what we are as sons and daughters to the Father God. So he has adopted us as sons and daughters, and he even uses a very loving word called Abba, which means daddy. That's how much he thinks about us relationally, that he calls us daddy. So today we're going to talk about living by the Spirit. We're going to talk about in Christendom, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you probably read this chapter, Galatians chapter 5. It talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it talks about the deeds of the flesh and how they relate back and forth to the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about in Galatians chapter 5. So if you'll follow along with me, we're going to start off in verse 1 in Galatians 5. It says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Circle that word, slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, circle that word, circumcised, we'll come back to that, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself to be circumcised that he's obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And underline that statement there, faith expressing itself through love. Now let's go back up to the first one I asked you to circle, which is slavery. And slavery, which is what the Apostle Paul was warning the early Christians about, especially the Jewish Christians about, this is all about trying to be righteous by living the laws. Especially now, to them back then, especially circumcision, because this is the new church. There weren't very many Christians yet. Basically, at this time, there was just mainly Jewish Christians, and they were just now reaching out to the Gentiles, which Gentiles back then were just, the Jews thought they were just wild and crazy. So they were very proud in their heritage about the fact that they were circumcised, because there are certain things that they kind of focused on to differentiate themselves, and it was really in a prideful way. So that's why the Apostle Paul's making a big deal about this subject, circumcision. Now, today and later on in scriptures, he'll talk about that it parallels a spiritual principle, which is called water baptism. Now, we love water baptisms, and by the way, water baptisms will be here after the service on July 10th. So if you'd like to be water baptized, just let one of his pastors know or put it on your connection card and put that I know we have several people wanting to be baptized, so just write it on, check it on the box in the connection card and turn it in at the end of the service, and we'll talk to you about getting water baptized. But water baptism is like a circumcision because it's an operation. It's an operation where first we acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and it's kind of symbolic. When you go underneath the water, it's like being buried with Christ, and when you come up, it's like resurrection with him. So it has symbolism, but something we believe happens when you go underneath the water, that old sinful wanting to do the wrong thing is kind of cut off and broken underneath there. But that is not salvation. Salvation happened when you received Jesus into your life and asked him to be your Lord and Savior. So, again, the Jewish people were kind of, they had things kind of the way they thought they were, and God had to straighten them out sometimes. So let's look at an example of what happened in regards to water baptism in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 47. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers, which were the Jewish believers, who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And so why was he saying that? Because up until then, they had it in order that, okay, well, you received Jesus, then you were water baptized, and then you saw something happen with the Holy Spirit in a person's life. They saw the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's a different subject in and of itself. But while he was speaking, none of these guys had been water baptized yet. And all of a sudden, they saw him glorifying God. The Holy Spirit manifested itself in their midst. And this kind of threw them for a loop. What just happened? So they realized that water baptism or spiritual circumcision wasn't salvation, because they hadn't been baptized yet. So he says, well, now we're going to have to baptize these guys because they've received Jesus like we did. So you can see their salvation came before their water baptism. So God had to straighten out a little bit there, and that's kind of like what it was being a Jewish believer, believing in circumcision. Now, let's go down to back to Galatians verses 1 through 8. Let's finish up in verse 9 there. Let's skip back to there. It says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through, and circle that works through the whole batch of dough. So trying to live laws to be righteous and then trying to make everyone else do the same as you. That's what works through means. And the Jewish people before salvation came through Jesus Christ, they were all about rules. They were all about regulations. And so Paul was trying to prevent them from going back to living on these rules again. So he said, works through, and in some version it says leavens the dough, which means spreads. So if you start getting back into the habit of saying, all right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then God will be pleased with me, pretty much it just overtakes you. And then you start trying to make other people do it. So we have a little video skit that we want to show you about these guys are called the rule breakers. And so we're going to watch a little skit that kind of shows you how this can get kind of overboard. So sit back and watch this little example.
Hello, friends. I'm Roy McLean, and I'm here today to talk to you about social deviants. Yes, those who shake their fist at God and country. These rebels thrive in such upstanding places, have schools, churches, church camp. That's right, even church camp. The place where we go to grow closer to the Lord. Why is it that we can't hear his still small voice? Because of these deviants, these rebels, these rule breakers. Friends, what you're about to see is graphic in nature, but we share it with you because we care for you and because every rule is important and must be obeyed. So strap in, hold on tight, and put on your big boy pants as we present to you Rule Breakers.
Hello. You're probably wondering why we have this tape all over our face. We are the Covenant Boys.
That's right. Job 31:1. I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look. What? Oh. I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look on a woman lustfully. So, with all this tape, we can't see anything.
Right, right. So, if a girl is wearing some clothing that isn't very, you know, godly or of a godly nature...
It's okay, we can't see anything.
That's right. If a girl comes out to us and say, hey, Covenant Boys, you want to have a little PDA?
Yeah, otherwise known as ta-da.
Right. We have made our lips totally unattractive... So that'll never happen.
Yeah.
It's just killing my face. I can't take it anymore.
Be strong. Remember the covenant. Job 31:1. Yeah. You know, the truth is, we can't even think about going into a girl's room.
You just thought it.
What? No! Job 31:1.
Well, that's a little illustration of going a little overboard with the rule breakers, guys. That's the skit, guys. You can go online. They have some hilarious subjects you can watch online. Well, I kind of fell into this trap as an early Christian. I met Brenda at Auburn University. We got married there. And we would do things as a church, and we'd have group prayer, and sometimes we'd do 3 days of prayer and fasting, but the fasting part was optional. Just do what you could, but I thought it shouldn't be optional. I would go around and tell people that you needed, where I'm fasting 3 days, you need to fast for 3 days. So, I used to have some habits like these guys that if I'm going to do it, you need to do it. Now, what's that come out of? I figured out eventually that it's guilt, that if you feel like you haven't done enough to please God, you feel guilty. And if you don't understand that that's coming from guilt, you just try harder. You try harder to keep rules. And then you try to make other people keep rules. And it's just an ongoing thing. And so God's not about us trying to keep all the rules. So let's read on in the book of Galatians in chapter 5. And you can follow along there in your notes, verses 13 through 21. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Circle the word serve there. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. And underline this, love your neighbor as yourself. So what are we talking about with the word serve and love your neighbor? So we're not talking about slavery serve. This is an attitude. This is a love attitude of serve. So it comes from you having a relationship with our Father God, a good relationship with Him, where you actually feel like you're His son or you're His daughter, depending on who you are. And so it's out of that relationship that you want to serve other people, because you know He's served us by coming, dying for us on a cross for our sins. And if you read through the Bible, He did all things about other people. He wasn't about, hey, come to me and I want you to do this and this for me. No, He was always going out of His way to help hurting people, sick people. And so that came out of a good relationship with the Father. And so that's where serving and loving your neighbor as yourself is. You want, loving your neighbors as yourself is kind of like you want people to treat you a certain way, so you treat them the way you want to be treated. It's kind of like the golden rule, isn't it? So that's what loving your neighbor as yourself comes out of. Now let's continue on and read the rest of that passage there. We're in Galatians 5, 13 through 21. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. And this comes from a bad attitude. You can start doing this to each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by, circle that word, led by, the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, underline that live like this, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So going back to that word led by, how are we led by the Spirit? Well, and why do we need to be led by the Spirit? Because when we receive Jesus in our life, how many of y'all know we're not perfect? No one is not perfect. So the Christian walk is just started when you receive the Lord. He loves you and wants you to be like Him. He wants you to act like Him. So what we need to do is we have this thing up here called the mind, which is where this is really where the battleground is for your walk as a Christian, is what goes into your mind and how do you address it when it comes into your mind. So the Bible says we're a new person. So that's the way that Jesus looks at it, as a new creation or a new person. He sees the perfected person that He made us at the cross inside of us. But He also knows that we're not perfected in our actions yet. So we have to do a few things to help us on our walk. And one of the things we need to do is to just think about God's Word. And that requires you to read His Word. Some scriptures say meditate on it. And all meditate means is just to think it over, think about what it's saying, and what are God's ways. And that helps us to change our actions. John 6:63, Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." So we want to hear what He's speaking to us through His Word and when He speaks to us in our thoughts. And so that changes us. Verse 19 says that we still have to remind ourselves that we do not walk in what seems obvious. So why do we need to focus on it? Now, if you've visited Victory Church for any length of time, we don't preach fire and brimstone here. But this is one of those passages we're going to talk about. We don't just ignore the bad things that are out in the world, but we don't focus on it and look for it in other people's lives that we've been talking about the last few weeks. So we need to see what is obvious out there. Why? Because, again, our mind is the battlefield and it needs to be renewed. So in verse 21, we said that to underline lives like this. And another word for lives like this, it says practices in some versions of Scripture. So it's one thing, and we all slip up, right? We all mess up, and so we just get back right up, and God accepts us back in our walk with Jesus. It's another thing to practice something. So we don't want to be practicing things, because if we practice things, the Bible says that's sin, and sin will deceive us. So if we practice it long enough, we'll just decide that it's okay, and it's not okay. So we're going to look at a few things here, and this is the first fill-ins at the bottom of the first page of your handout there. This is kind of like the flesh versus the production of the spirit. And the first thing you'll see on the left-hand side is bondage. That's what the flesh produces. On the right-hand side, you can underline freedom. You can write in your fill in the blank there, freedom. Now, we read just a minute ago some of these, what in some scriptures calls deeds of the flesh or acts of the flesh. So we need to recognize them, because so when we see them, we can avoid them. So if we know what they are ahead of time, we can avoid some of these, quote, deeds or acts of the flesh. So I'm going to mention a couple of them that are under the kind of the bondages category. The first one is immorality. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, well, immorality can be a host of things, but it's really any act, sexual act, outside of marriage. And so, because God knows that marriage is the way he created things, and if you stay in the confines of marriage, you're blessed, you're happy, you're peaceful, and you're walking with God. One of the other things that's talked about was idolatry. Now, back then in the early church, when they were sharing the gospel with the Gentiles, these Gentiles literally had idols. They had physical idols that they worshiped for different things. And there are some countries that still have that, but you really don't see that much in America. People aren't carrying around their idols with them in their car, and they're putting it up in their office or whatever. But they worshiped idols. Now, for today, idols could be really anything you put more important than God in your life. And you value it more, you spend time more, you'll rate it that you'll do this before you'll do something for God, which could be something like sports, could be career, even your marriage. It could be just something that in and of itself is, there's nothing wrong with it, but you value that and make that more important than your relationship with God. Another thing is witchcraft. Now, in other countries, some witchcraft is more prevalent than here, but I've been hearing more and more stories of things going on in our nation in different groups, in different cities around the country. So it's, but really, witchcraft is not just casting a spell on somebody or reading their tarot cards or something like that, but it could be more subtle, controlling someone. And if you read the story in the Old Testament about Queen Jezebel, that's what she did. She was a witch in the fact that she controlled people. She used her power and her beauty to control people, to get them to do what she wanted them to do for her. It was all about selfishness. It was all about me. And that can be a form of witchcraft. So we got to keep our minds focused on him and not about what I want, because you can end up controlling people if you don't. So there's a scripture that says, do not turn your freedom in an opportunity to sin. So because we're free from the consequences of sin, because Jesus did that for us, but that doesn't mean we can just sin anytime we want. We want to represent him, right? So other people can be drawn to the Lord, and they'll want to have what we have. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's why you didn't get swept up into heaven when you received the Lord. So let's look at some of these other ones on here. We have doubt on your list there in front of you versus faith. And faith is just walking and acting on what God's word says. So sometimes that could be something practical like tithing. It takes faith to give some of your money, to give it away, doesn't it? And sometimes it feels like, it doesn't feel comfortable. But if you know that God's going to bless you back, then that's faith. The next one is religion versus relationship. Relationship. And that's what we've been talking about in the book of Galatians, is that if you just live by a bunch of rules and regulations thinking that's going to get you to heaven, that's just a religion, just like any religion. But God is all about relationship. And these songs we sang this morning, these worship songs, talk about how much the Father loves us, because that's what he's all about, is relationship. It's a family. He loves every one of you like a daughter or a son. The next one is legalism versus grace. Grace. So let's just quit trying to be righteous. We can't do it. Just thank him every day for the grace to do what is right. Thank him every day for the grace. That's God's supernatural ability that he puts inside of every one of us to do the right thing. Now we're going to talk about living by the Spirit. We've talked about some of the negative stuff. Let's move on to the positive, all right? So Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And these are just awesome fruit. We're just going to read through them. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. It says, but the fruit, now circle that word fruit because we're going to come back to that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, another word for forbearance is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, circle that again, have crucified, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So what does the Spirit look like? What does living by the Spirit look like? Well, I asked you to circle a minute ago the word fruit. Fruit just simply means manifestation. It means, you know, when you have a tree and it gets to the fruit standpoint, it produces fruit. It produces, what is that tree all about? It's fruit. So God wants us to produce the manifestations or fruit, what God is all about. And we read these nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they should start to come out of us almost naturally. When we spend time with God, you're going to be more patient. You're going to be more kind if you realize that God loves you and you spend that love relationship with Him. So it says in John chapter 15, it says, if you abide, it's up here on the overhead, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, so that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So you see the relationship there. It talks about abiding in Him and then letting, we talked about getting the Word inside of us and let it abide inside of us. Jesus says His words are spirit and they are life. When we start to do that, we start to almost naturally, spiritually bear these kinds of fruit, and people start to see it in your lives. How many people become a Christian and somebody either accused you of being a Christian or said, "You, something's happened to you." I know that happened to me the very first morning. Anybody had that happen to them? The very first morning I got up in my fraternity house in Auburn, I was getting a drink of water, and a guy said, "What happened to you last night? He didn't know what had happened to me. He just sensed something on me, and it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit inside of me. He just noticed a peace about me, and I was just getting a drink of water at 7 in the morning. You know, I wasn't out shouting or anything like that." So it says, and then we just read that the no laws can stop these manifestations or fruits of the Spirit. So people can't stop you. Laws can't stop you. These are character things that will manifest in your lives if you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember we shared a couple weeks ago about Galatians 2:20, and I had you circle a minute ago, "I have been crucified." That's what it means. It's past tense. Our desires and all that, they've already been crucified at the cross, and we recognize that. So just say it and believe it. Just know that your passions are past tense. That's the old you. The new you is being like Jesus, so let's learn how to do that. Okay, now three things in your notes there that we're going to talk about here is what's needed to live by the Holy Spirit. What are three things we need to live by the Holy Spirit? Number one, it requires us to see. So write that down. It requires me to see. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." And we keep coming back to God's word, because God's word can either be this historically boring when you read it, and I know it was that way for me before I became a Christian, or then when I asked Jesus in my life and I started reading it again, it's like, whoa, this lights up. This is something exciting. I can do this. This is not as difficult as I thought it was, because God gives me strength to do it. So the word kind of shines on our life. That's why it says it's a lamp for your feet. And Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing. And hearing is kind of like seeing, because you're hearing inside of you. It's not hearing and seeing with your physical eyes, but something does happen when you listen to the Word of God. It gets inside of you. So I recommend reading your Bible out loud. It's always a good thing, because it kind of goes down inside of you. Hearing is a big thing. That's called, in other countries, when they try to change your ideology, they call it brainwashing, because they play stuff over and over again that tricks you. So let's brainwash ourselves with God. And, you know, that's an exciting thing to do. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we hear with God's word being put inside of us. Number two, things that are needed to live by the Spirit is that it requires me to listen. Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, I've heard Christians over the years saying, I don't really hear God. I mean, I'd like to hear God, but I just don't hear him. I don't know. What is that? How do you hear God? Well, it's not an audible voice. It's God speaking things to you, thoughts, and even ideas. That can be from hearing God. Now, the reason we may not hear God is that we just don't understand what I just said about its thoughts and ideas. Or when we have our what we call private time or quiet time, when we're just between you and God, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're talking to God. The thing is, a lot of times we read and we talk, but we don't stop a minute to listen. I've been guilty of that. Anybody else been guilty of that? I've been guilty of that. We like to tell him all of our problems. We like to say, well, God, I like this, I like that, but he's wanting to talk to us. He's got something to say to us. So the best thing to do is just a word of advice is just quiet down for a few minutes while you're with God and just listen. And he'll tell you he loves you. He'll tell you that he loves the fact that you're his son. You're his daughter because he loves you that much. And he'll tell you those kind of things. Then out of that, he'll give you inspirations. That's God. That's hearing God is inspiration. He'll tell you things and give you ideas. Some of the greatest scientists you may not know were Christians. And they gave them great ideas and invented things because God spoke a thought, an idea, and they started working with it. And that's God speaking. That's hearing God. So it could be something practical. Sometimes God speaks to you. It doesn't have to be, you will be sent to Africa. No, not necessarily. You may want to go to Africa, but God just tells you that neat things, practical things. Stop doing this, start doing that, and it can happen. So I'll tell a story that happened to me. And by the way, the book of Psalms is a great book to read because it's the story of King David in a lot of places telling about his victories and his difficulties and how he finally always realized, God, you're awesome and I need to listen to you. But I'll tell you a little story that happened to me and our family. We were in Atlanta back in 1988 and I decided to venture out and start a big business project. I got a little bit of counsel on it, and the counsel was telling me, saying, this might be a little bit too big for you, Carl, but I didn't know the person, so I thought, they don't know me. They don't know what I'm thinking. So I went ahead and tried to start it anyway, and I just was anxious and a little fearful that God wouldn't provide for us if I didn't get something happening, something going, and this is what I thought was it. So we tried to start a business up in Atlanta, and it didn't work. And after two or three months of failed sales in it, it was a publication that we tried to do for the whole city. It was going to be a citywide publication. It was like clear as day. God says, stop it right now. Tell the three people that you hired, this is it. We're discontinuing this. And I heard it clear as day, and I just simply did what he told me to do, and it was a rough time for us and our family then. But we went on an adventure that I'll never forget for the next 9 months that God just provided for us, and 9 months later, we ended up here in Gainesville, and we started another publication here called Gator Greenbacks, which has been awesomely blessed, and that leads us to point number three. On your sheet there, it says, it requires me to follow. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So as God speaks to us, and he will speak to us through circumstances, through his word, and his word will confirm your actions, whether you're following him or not, don't ignore it, and then respond. And because we responded in a good way, I learned a lot. So Romans... I learned enough to, one of the principles was is to read God's word out loud, read his promises. This is what happened when I had my business failure. Somebody sent me a principle of being blessed. If you read God's word, he doesn't want us all to be poor and never have anything to share with anybody else, or the world would all be poor. He wants us to be blessed in the way we can handle it, so that we can be a blessing to others. And that's not just finances. That's in your giftings, your talents, your thoughts, your teaching, all those kind of things. So God will speak to us through circumstances. And that was one of those ones where I knew what he was saying. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So even though I messed up, I made a big mistake, God worked it out. And he turned it around, and here I am today with a blessed family, a blessed business, and it's just awesome. And then a blessed family of God with you guys. You guys are awesome. So I started hearing inside of me exciting solutions, people to call. Some things were a little bit risky, but because it was God, he blessed my efforts, and he wants to bless your efforts. Some of you have experienced God's blessings in your life. Two things, final encouragements at the bottom down there under number three. I am never alone. And the Spirit is always with me. And the last scripture I want to end with is Romans 8, 38 through 39. It says, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate. No bad decision. No matter how much we've messed up, wrong decisions, God just wants to turn it around. Just turn back to him, and he will show you the way. So I mentioned a minute ago that's for some of us, and I know it's including myself when I say this, it's difficult for us to listen to God. So I want us to just practice that for a minute. Let's all close our eyes, and let's just listen to God. Just close your eyes, and let's just listen for a second. See if he's saying something to you. God wants to speak to us. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great and mighty things that you do not know. God wants to answer us and talk to us. He wants to tell us great and mighty things. So you might want to, you might be saying today, Pastor Carl, you might be a Christian. You say, you know, I don't really think I hear God, but I know he wants to talk to me. And you might say, well, you know, you mentioned some of those bondages earlier, and you know, I've been having a lot of difficulty with those, and I hear what you're saying about guilt, and I feel very guilty. Well, I think God wants to remove your guilt. This is, I'm talking right now just to Christians. He wants to remove all of our guilt, whether we're Christians or not. But I just want to pray first for you as a Christian. If with everybody close their eyes, and you say, Pastor Carl, pray for me. I want to get rid of this guilt. Or number two, I really want to listen better. If you want me to pray for you for that, just let me see your hand. I'll just pray a quick prayer for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I just thank you for all of us, Lord. I just come against the guilt that the enemy has put on us because of the laws that we couldn't keep. Right now, I just speak to that guilt to get off of God's people. I cancel your legal rights to get off of them. They've said they had it. They want to get rid of it. I just rebuke this guilt off of God's people in Jesus' name. And every bondage that goes with it that tries to form habits in our lives, I just rebuke it off of God's people in Jesus' name. And then you might be here today and you say, you know, Pastor Carl, I hear what you're saying about relationship. I really don't have a relationship with God. And God's not interested in whether or not you have done the right thing all your life. He hadn't brought you here today to kind of make you feel bad that you've done this or done that. He wants to make you feel good that you're in a relationship with him. And if you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, this is your chance today. Say, Pastor Carl, I want to make sure I'm going to go to heaven. Because some people think, well, maybe I'm not sure. I hope so, wish so. But it says in John, 1 John chapter 5, it says that he who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you, my little children, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And so God wants you to know. So with everybody's head bowed again, we're not going to embarrass you. I don't want you to come up front. I don't want you to stand up or anything. You might say, you might be of one of two places. You, You might say, well, Pastor Carl, I don't know for sure if I'm going to go to heaven, but I would like to make sure today, I would like to receive Jesus for the first time. I've never prayed a prayer to literally ask him to come into my heart. Or if you were living for the Lord, but you realize your relationship isn't where it needs to be, you really don't have a relationship right now, and you've been willfully running away from God, this is your chance too to say, I want to turn back to God, and I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So if you're any one of those two categories, and you say, Pastor Carl, I just want you to pray for me. No looking around. I just want to see your hand. I want to pray for you. If you'd like to follow Jesus today, or you want to get back on track with him, would you show me your hand, and I'll pray for you. Anyone like to do that today? God loves you so much. Thank you. Anyone? Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Well, let's all pray this prayer with him. Let's join with him. If you meant that, let's pray this under your breath. We're all going to pray this prayer with you. Dear Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, for him dying on a cross for my sins, and then raising him from the dead to break the power of sin. So right now, I turn away from anything that you show me that I don't need to be doing, and I choose to follow you. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. So right now I say out of my mouth, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of you. I will follow you the rest of the days of my life. Thank you, Lord. Now give the Lord a hand clap for them that did that. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now if you made that decision, there's a little box on that connection card that was in the worship guide. You can check the box and turn it in.